Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
1 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold with you on a Tuesday. Jay Binkley filling in for Cody Tapp. Drew Nixon producing the show. Coming up in a half hour, if you missed our conversation with the general manager of the Kansas City Royals, you don't want to miss that. We had him on the show earlier. Everything you've been thinking, some of the questions you guys have had, we tried to ask those to JJ Piccolo. You want to hear his response to the trade market, what Noah Cameron and Matt Quatrero and the organization's philosophy has been on him in terms of the pitch count stuff. On the report this morning about ownership, maybe talking to Piccolo about veteran players, all that kind of stuff got addressed. And of course, just where this organization is at right now and the players only meeting, all that we got into with him. And that'll be coming up at 1:30. Minicamp is going on though, Bink, out at Arrowhead. And
mandatory minicamp, Alex.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And we're hoping to hear from Chris Jones. I think we're trying to figure out some technical stuff on that. But we do have Josh Simmons speaking to the media. He, of course, is the top pick of the Chiefs and could be the starting left tackle this season, but a lot of that's going to come down to his health and availability by the time they get to St. Joe. Here's Josh Simmons speaking to the media on 96.5 The Fan.
Said a couple weeks ago that he was surprised at how quickly you've been able to come back. Are you surprised, or is this what you anticipated for this summer?
This is kind of, what I anticipated. It's what I worked towards. I got my operation done by the Platinum Standard and Neil Eletrar, so I was already feeling good about that straight off the table. And then I have, like, the best in the business here in Arrowhead Drive for rehab, so.
Seems like you're doing everything out there right now. Are you expecting to be full go with camp when the pads come on?
Just take it day by day. Whatever happens, will happen.
Josh, how does the playbook part coming for you? Has the learning process been good?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of different things, and they'll run in college, so just kind of adjusting to the speed or what I'll see, and then, you know, obviously leaning on guys like Kingsley and, you know, Juwan, Trey, all those guys. It'll happen.
Is it difficult with the injury stuff to navigate wanting to go, you know, as hard as you can and then just, you know, having to pull back in a sense just to make sure that, you know, you don't go too far?
Absolutely. I did, like, before this, like this time last year, I was anticipating going a lot harder, but, you know, everything happens for a reason. I trust the staff around me, players around me, so I'm just do what I can.
You played at a high level at Ohio State and against, you know, guys in the Big Ten for a long time. What's this competition level like compared to just what you've seen in college?
Yeah, it's not that big, I guess, of a jump, but it is a very big jump. There's, like, some hands, you know, some of the moves are a lot more precise. Some of the guys know exactly where to strike you to kind of get you off balance. We had obviously straight dudes at Ohio State in practice, Jack Sore, JT, so I know what to anticipate, but, you know, still, just to tick faster.
Sure. The last test for you, really, it seems like at this point, is to put the pads on and have full contact. How much are you looking forward to that?
Very. Again, I wanted to be able to throw the pads on, like, ASAP, but, you know, things happen for a reason, so whatever the staff allows me to do, I'm going to definitely do. Really hard.
How supportive and in what ways has Coach Reed kind of helped you as you go through some of this?
Really, he's been kind of, you know, talking to me every day after every practice, giving me tips, and Mitchell's out there, so he's kind of been putting me together with him and just kind of being a really good support.
All right, I think we lost maybe some of Josh Simmons there. Let me know, Drew, if we get reconnected. But Bink, you were motioning something at one point. Something caught your attention there when Josh Simmons was talking.
I mean, you got to change your outlook a little bit. It's a lot different than when you were at Ohio State.
Yeah, he said it's not that big of a jump, but it's a pretty big jump. I think he kind of like corrected himself. Well,
I understand. There's good guys. I mean, going against Sawyer and stuff like that in practice, that's one thing. Mm-hmm. But game day, he did face Mike Green. Like, he did face him. That's the one guy that he, you know, just for a couple snaps, though, that's like the best pass rusher I think he faced last year. But that's a major jump from, I'm sorry, Division I still. Sure. Yeah, it's the closest level you can get. But that is a significant jump. Going against those guys, a lot of those guys aren't in the NFL now. You were going against pros. It is a big difference between being in college and joining. I mean, you can say small difference or whatever. It's a large difference.
He was also asked just about, you know, being ready for camp, and he kind of said, "We'll see," or "We'll kind of let the play it by ear kind of thing." I think that's truly the answer right now. I mean, they can say they're excited about his progress right now, but none of that is going to really matter until we get to St. Joe. Like, was it the progress enough to get him on the field day one in St. Joe when we're doing shows up there? Is he going to be with a helmet on in a shell? You know, they want pads first day, but you know what I mean? With shells on or whatever right away? Or is he going to be in the tent? Is he going to be put on the pup list? Like, those are still things that I don't think they really have the answer to. They can say he's being positive stuff right now in terms of progress, but I think that is still up in the air on whether or not he truly is available for training.
Well, I hope
he
works
is.
Out.
Because if he
out.
Is, that is unbelievable news.
You got Jalen Moore sitting in there, and that's just extra depth. So, yeah. Jalen Moore.
Now, you didn't like the pick, in fairness. So, you're skeptical about it anyway.
Yeah, I'm skeptical about the injury. That was the big thing. Because it's a rare injury that NFL players don't typically have. So you'd like to see it more because it's such a crucial position for this team. But obviously bringing in Jalen Moore as well helps out. Let's not forget about this guy and what he can do. So I want to see that. But no, it works out best for this football team if he's ready to go. But I just question, are you really ready to go full speed at the beginning of St. Joe?
And we'll find out late next month when they're up in St. Joe.
Will he get a snow cone?
If he comes on the show. Yeah, you got to come on the show to get a snow cone. You know, that's the rule. Now, what happened sometimes is, you know, some of the other teammates hear about the snow cone and they just come over. But I think you got to come on the show.
I understand. He did go against top competition against Ohio State. But that's the number one thing you hear from guys in the NFL is about the mental game of it. I mean, we all know they can hit. They have contact. More contact in high school and less than that in college. Then when you get the pros, even less contact in practice. It's really a mental thing with all these players. But man, to a man, most rookies, they talk about the speed. Like every single rookie you talk about will talk about the speed difference in the NFL compared to college. Even these guys come from big schools, man. Some come from, you know, the MAC and whatever. But a lot of these guys come from big time, you know, top institutions, and they will all tell you to a man, the speed is much different.
No question. I also think, though, if you are a Chiefs fan and you're saying, what's best case scenario? It's that Josh Simmons is healthy enough. Day one of training camp, he goes and wins the job and is a starting left tackle. That's best case scenario.
Best case scenarios, you don't have to worry about left tackle.
Yeah, but that would be incredible.
Perfect world, things that always happen. Chiefs went through most of the season with their one and two receivers as well. Things happen.
Do you think he'll actually be? Because this was Bink when he got drafted.
They announced Josh Simmons, offensive tackle from Ohio State.
I hate this pick, actually.
It's still one of my favorite moments of the last couple months.
They're just raw in the moment.
I know. That's what I
raw in the moment.
I mean, in the system,
honestly, though, you hope it works out, though. I do. I definitely think it does. I'm 100% rooting for this kid.
Yeah.
100% rooting for him, seeing him in St. Joe.
I hate this pick, actually. Don't like it.
You know, they've been wrong before. They're rarely wrong. I hope it works out.
Yeah, I know. I'm giving you a hard time. Look, I hope, and everybody probably does, right? It was funny. That was,
guys didn't play this when I wanted them to draft Mahomes. No one played this when I said that because everybody wanted
Deshaun. You wanted Deshaun Watson.
Everybody in this town, in this media, they wanted Deshaun Watson. I wrote the first article ever on 610 Sports when we switched this to a new website was about the Chiefs drafting Mahomes, and it was around the Big 12 tournament time. But nobody plays when I want them to draft Mahomes. Nobody plays that.
Yeah, we don't have audio of that, Big. It never happened.
It never happened. It never happened. Yeah.
If we don't have audio of it, it did not happen.
Didn't happen.
Nope. By the way, I think Chris Jones.
But I truly hope
we had some audio issues there, so I don't know if we'll be able to get Chris Jones before we get off the air today, unfortunately. But
and here's the one thing about Jones. He's a team leader. He's a funny dude, too. Like, his press conference is the best because he's just so funny. Yep. Like, he's also the best at what he does, which is awesome. I always thought he was just kind of right behind Aaron Donald. And in my mind, as soon as Aaron Donald retired, you know, he kind of took that torch. Now, you have other guys coming up now, clearly. But Chris Jones, from not being a first-round pick to what he's doing now, is unbelievable. How important he's been to this team.
Someone says, Goldie should have been at the draft party at the practice facility when they drafted Dontari Poe back in the day. They'll never forget hearing 20,000 people boo and immediately walk out. Back when they drafted him, you know, when they used to do the huge draft watch parties. Now they've made it more of a season ticket.
Oh, I remember. I was down there with Fanning. He was at TV5 at the time, and I was with 610 at the time. I jumped in when they got Fisher, because the big argument was Fisher
that
or Joker.
That draft class just was bad.
Yeah.
In hindsight, Eric Fisher ended up, if you look at who else they could have taken.
Well, Lane Johnson ended up being pretty damn good.
Yeah, those are the two, though, man. The rest was pitiful.
Well, Lane Johnson and Fisher turned out.
That's what I'm saying. Everybody else was pitiful.
That draft sucked.
They actually did pretty damn well if you look at what Eric Fisher's career ended up being.
The one thing about Jokel is because he had played in the Big 12 plus the SEC.
He got out of the league quick.
Because they converted to both, right?
How many years did Jokel end up playing?
And Fisher had the Mac.
How many years do you think Jokel ended up playing in the league?
Oh,
because that was the whole debate
probably
that year.
Probably one or two.
He's just now 33. Just to give you an idea, and you haven't heard his name in years. He last played in 2017.
Fisher had a problem in college.
He played in 50 games. He played in 50 games. In the
coaching staff had to wake him up and give him peanut butter sandwiches in the middle of the night. Get that weight on Eric Fisher.
Oh, really?
Fisher turned out to be, that ended up being a great pick for the Chiefs. No question.
I'm totally with you. Totally with you. During the break, though, you got a text. You got a text during the break. We were talking at the end of the noon hour.
Oh!
About, we were asking you about dates, and you said you were playing coy.
I never give people's names, professions, nothing. I don't give anything.
And then you,
matter of fact, for years I called one of my daughters Spike.
Huh?
Oh, my youngest, I called her Spike.
Oh, okay.
I didn't give her name out. It's Spike.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's fair. The kids thing, I understand.
You play coy.
No, but you wouldn't even tell us for a little bit that you were talking to somebody. Then we finally got to the point.
Why would I tell you guys anything?
Because it's a radio. We share personal stuff on the show all the time.
I share probably too much, but
never.
I think I do.
Never.
I think I do. As far as this, it's kind of, let's play coy.
See, she was happy. She was listening to the show. It sounds like
she wasn't.
What?
Somebody that
a friend of hers.
Yeah. Yeah.
See.
Yeah.
And you got to be happy about that.
Ecstatic.
Yeah, you look it. You look like you're thrilled. All right, let's talk some more Royals baseball for a little bit here before we get into what's trending and obviously our conversation with J.J. Piccolo earlier today. It's the start of the road trip tonight in Arlington. We know where the team sits, 4 games under .500. What do you think the team looks like by the time they come back home? They're going to play a series against the Padres and the Rangers. Then they come home and they have the Rays and the Dodgers, I believe. Record-wise is one thing. Change-wise, based on the conversation you're going to hear with JJ in 15 minutes or so, there's no changes happening this week. Like there's no changes happening this week. So
I don't think the team's
not going to look any different. The question is, do you think they can get closer to .500 by the time this road trip is over? Can they pick up 2 games on this road trip somehow? Can they get to 2 games under .500?
I think tonight will show a lot of that. And I felt that way when they were in St. Louis. Remember, they're down 7-2. They came back and won. I was like, wow, this team's usually done when it's 3-1 or something like that. They're not coming back and win. I thought that might change things. But if they go down there tonight and all of a sudden Jack gets hot, starts hitting home runs, Bobby Witt, does the Bobby Witt Jr. type of thing. Sal Perez maybe starts to turn around. Vinny continues to hit the baseball like he's done so great. Player of the month last month. If they go down there and do that and win big and create some separation, I think we got to say, okay, this team has a chance maybe to pick up 2 games. But as we sit right now, I would say, can they return just 4 games under?
Just a 500 road trip?
No, I look at, can they come back 4 games under like they are going out on it?
So basically a 500 road
trip. Yeah, if tonight they go out and look great, you have to change your perception, and you have to change how you think they're going to do on the road trip. But if they go out and get rolled, then you're sitting there going, let's hope to get back four games under.
Yeah, three against the Rangers, three against the Padres. I know you want better than this, but
a lot of a dictate.
3-3 road trip. Obviously, you would love to sit at a 4-2 road trip. If you somehow were a 4-2 road trip, would be incredible considering how they've been playing.
You win tonight, that's possible. You
Lugo
drill tonight,
on
yeah,
the mound.
It's still possible, but not likely.
Yeah, the Rangers, I mean, the record stuff is weird at this point for their opponents because, as you pointed out, like the A's had a worse record. Didn't matter. They still got beat. It almost is. The Yankees clearly is just a team you watch, and like the Royals are not on their level. They weren't on their level last year either.
I mean, the
or
Yankees have been slapped around, and it's
but the Rangers,
better team than the Red Sox.
I mean, the Rangers have won 7 of their last 10. They're actually, you know, if you compare them to some of the other teams, they're one of the quote-unquote hotter teams in the American League. The only team hotter in the American League than the Rangers is actually the Red Sox. The Red Sox, and that's why the Devers trade is weird, but the Red Sox have won 8 of 10.
The Rays are playing really good, too.
Yeah, the Rays have also won 7 of 10. The Rangers have won 7 of 10, and the Astros have won 7 of 10. That's what I'm saying. So the Rangers, other than the Red Sox, are tied for the second hottest team in the American League right now.
Not catching them at a good time is what you're saying.
They're 500, though, the Rangers, as you said, 36.
Well, the good news for the Royals, the best news is, if you look at the 10-game stretch, the Royals are 2-8 in that stretch. But Minnesota and Cleveland are right there with you. They're 2-8 to the stretch as well. No, what I'm saying is, when the Royals are playing extremely well, winning, 16 out of 18 or whatever, remember how good Minnesota was during that stretch? They weren't gaining any ground because Cleveland and Minnesota were playing just as well right with them. It's just kind of weird how they're all kind of coming back to the pack, and they're all playing the same, which is good, great news for the Royals. This would be a terrible time for the Minnesota Twins to go on a 7-8-game winning streak or Cleveland doing that, right? And Detroit's just gone 500. They're 5-5 in their last 10, but they're still gaining ground. They're still getting ground, even with that record, plus 3 over those teams, even going 5-5 in their last 10. But it is somewhat good news that Cleveland, Minnesota are playing just like the Royals.
Does Jack Caglione get his first MLB home run on this road trip? They're playing in Texas, and then they go and play out west in San Diego. Does he get his first one? We know the team as a whole just has no power right now.
Caglione, I thought he'd have one before. I
can't keep thinking he's going to win every single game.
So I would say yes, because I do think he's going to get it, because I keep saying yes with Jack.
I think so. I mean, I would have said the same thing last week, though, in fairness. Like, I mean, he's going to eventually hit one, but I would be lying to you if I told you, what are we, 12 games in? It's still only 12. That he didn't have a home run after. If you would have told me that 3 weeks ago, I would have said no chance that he doesn't have one. But that speaks to some of the other concerns with just where maybe the hitting is at with this club at this point in time. I am shocked he doesn't have a home run. I know there's a huge, huge leap from AAA to the big leagues. Totally understand that.
It's another leap, by the way.
But I'm still very surprised that we're sitting here and he doesn't have one.
I guess I'm optimistic as Nick Kurtz, you know, selected just two picks before Jack.
He got off to a slow start, too, by the way.
But he's got back-to-back 9th inning walk-off home runs for the A's. That encourages me. When you see that guy, you know, starting to coming around, the Red Sox, Roman that they just called up was hitting 6.69, finally hit a home run last night. That was good for him. But when you see Nick Kurtz doing what he's doing, I'm like, okay. Like, you think of that. When you see that, you think of Jack.
Like indoor ballpark tonight, it feels like this is the spot. The next three games in Texas.
Remember, it's retractable.
It's probably hot as hell and humid down there. I bet you that thing's closed, don't you think?
Yeah.
In June, Texas, I'm guessing that thing is closed.
What is the temperature in Arlington?
I remember when I was check Arlington. In Houston, they would have that retractable roof in Houston open at Minute Maid. Now it's called something else. They would have it open for like 1 week the whole year.
It's only 90 degrees.
What's the weather?
It's currently 90. Feels like 90. Hang on. Feels like 91. Uh-huh. The UV index is extreme.
Yeah. No, there's no way that roof is open in Dallas or Arlington.
At 2 p.m., 93. At 5.93, at 8.93, but get this, at 11 it goes up to 94. It's just getting hotter there.
That's Texas, man.
We can talk about 22 miles an hour. It says
the humidity that we have here.
What's the barometric pressure
with the humidity that we get here? But I'm telling you, Houston, you'd go out and just walk your dog for like 5 minutes. And your back would just start sweating like in July and August. It was miserable. Oh,
yeah. Would the dog sweat?
I mean, I assume
dogs don't usually sweat.
I don't know. I didn't really check. She didn't wipe her forehead off. If that's what you're asking, you know, I don't know.
Well, I've never seen a dog sweat.
Yeah, I mean,
Did she pant?
Well, of course. Yeah, you got to be careful too. Their paws.
That's kind of how they sweat.
And you got to be careful. The paws will burn.
Paws get real hot.
But no, the weather in Texas is. There's no chance that roof is opening up the rest of the season in Texas. Probably.
Yeah, closed. Couldn't grow grass in that place.
That probably feels everybody says great the
inside.
Are you
kidding me? Everybody says the inside is beautiful. The outside looks awesome. Outside looks like a Menards, but the inside is beautiful, supposedly.
Yeah, I like Menards. I think they look great. The bottom line is, I love behind home plate and stuff. The clubs they have, you know, the people just sitting there. Just having their brews, watching
Bink
the game.
Bink didn't even want to go to the game. Awesome. Bink just wants to pull up a chair outside and just watch the Menards. You know, you just want to observe the Menards.
You know what? Hey, here's the one thing about Menards. They've got everything. But there's a lot of space between where you park and go in because you got to come out a different place. That's so it's true. Like, where do you park? Do you park on one side or the other? Would you rather walk a lot That's in the beginning true, or babe. Walk a lot at the end? So
these are the great decisions villainous.
When you go to Menards. But as far as aesthetically looking at the building, I think Menards look fine.
Yeah, for a baseball stadium, I'm not so sure. But yeah, no, shout out to Menards, man.
They got a lot of candy and everything.
We have a veterinarian that has texted in.
No. Oh. But the dog paws?
Dogs can't sweat. They pant and slobber.
See, that's what I thought. That's how I didn't
say
they sweat.
That's how they get the heat off of them.
I didn't. I was joking with him. I said, did your dog sweat? Then I said, they pant. I said, panting is how a dog sweats.
Yeah, that's how
I
they,
didn't say they the get the,
that's
sweating.
How they cool themselves
joking.
Down. They cool themselves down.
I was joking.
Down. Yeah.
Watch their feet, man. It's very hot.
Bink is in for Cody for five more shows.
Who's down dancing in Texas?
His daughter's dancing in Texas. He could go to the game tonight if he wanted to. I don't know if he is. He's right there.
I don't know.
Fort Worth is right there.
I guarantee he's dancing.
Do you think he could convince the fam to...
Why not? There's no way tickets are that expensive to see the Rangers and Royals tonight.
It is no Lugo chance. Versus Leiter.
Yeah, that's... Yeah. Mm-hmm. What do you think tickets
Look
are?
Look at all these texts, like, man. For, I know the dogs don't
say,
sweat.
I'll say $20.
They pant. Their tongue comes out. I'm not saying... I was joking about the dogs sweating.
They're just trying to educate you, Bink.
I know the dogs can't
$25. Sweat. $25. It's also... The reason why tickets are even that, I think it looks like the Rangers have 2023 World Series final out something.
Oh, giveaway. There you go. It's a giveaway.
Final out bobblehead tonight.
Oh,
there,
bobbleheads always bringing the walk-ins.
For the Rangers game down there. Yeah, $26 upstairs seats.
That's still not bad.
Yeah, I bet you can get downstairs pretty easily.
Can you get the club behind home plate?
I don't know. Bobby's family, I'm sure. Bobby Witt's family, I'm sure, will be down
can
there.
Can Cody get down there? And dance for us behind the camera and the pitchers?
Oh, gosh.
Like dance behind Leiter's. And sing his Jack song.
He better hope they start winning, because when he comes back, the first thing I'm mentioning is the Royals are winless since his Jack Caglione song happened.
Oh, hang on a second. If he's back in a week and a half, and they still haven't won yet since that song,
well, they still haven't won, then there's no more question about what they got to do.
No more singing then if that happens. Seriously.
Yeah. Or Jack can't allow it. If Jack Caglione doesn't hit a home run by the time he comes back, then the song.
That's the one.
You know, that's a problem, too. Yeah. I think he's going to.
Usually he's been
think
good.
Think he's going to hit a home run. Actually, this series. I might even put a little money on a home run tonight. I actually think it's going to happen tonight.
From the 75, Bink gives his dog a shave.
Listen, I know dogs don't freaking sweat.
I don't think you do.
With
I don't
Alex.
Think you know, man.
No, because I even said it. I said panting is a form of sweating.
No, you
I
said, did. Is your dog sweat or does she
I
pant?
I was joking about your dog sweating.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen a dog sweat. Although, I have seen a dog's hair kind of get kind of wet. When it's real humid.
Why is it?
When it's real humid or
why
whatever.
Why would that happen?
When you pet a dog, they start smelling a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That's so funny. I know dogs don't sweat.
Uh-huh.
I'm just waiting.
Well, I don't think that.
What?
I don't, man.
I'm waiting for you to say something that you're going to regret, Bink. That's what I'm laughing at. I'm waiting for you
hey,
to say
well,
something.
Hey, what's
up, man? I got the dumb button right here. See how fast
if
you can
you type. If you type his name, Gold, if you just type in Bink.
Hey, what's up, man?
Look don't at, that, don't play
just
that.
Type in
I don't
Bink,
know what that
it's
is.
Just, there's at least 15 drops in here. At least.
See, it's not my fault. You never cut your own.
Oh, we got plenty of our drops.
Drew.
Oh, there's plenty for Drew in there. Don't think that there's
there
ask
lot.
Drew. I play plenty of his drops all the time.
It's right there,
Drew,
Alex. Touch it.
Yeah,
I'm
mean,
naked a lot.
Yeah, you know, we've Bink. We Drew's got plenty of drops.
I wanted the beat machine.
Excuse me. Yeah, he's, yeah.
I played with Steve
Sheff. Juice all over the place.
Anyway, up next, goodness gracious. We'll get a quick What's Trending in, then you'll hear our conversation with the general manager of the Kansas City Royals. We asked him about where this team is at, what their plan might be moving forward with the trade deadline, and their confidence in the hitting staff. That's next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Next here on Cody and Gold.
What's trending?
What's trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. The Royals begin their road trip tonight in Arlington, taking on the Rangers. Seth Lugo gets the nod tonight. He'll go up against Jack Leiter. 7:05 first pitch. Vern's on deck show. 6 o'clock right here. 96.5 The Fan.
Loved Vern this weekend, just kind of spelling out kind of how we all felt at that A's series. Can they turn that corner in Texas? I know a lot of people are expecting changes. These changes didn't happen. What are those changes be? You know, it wasn't going to be the manager. You know, they're not going to go out and make a big trade for this Texas series, but they changed the hitting coach. That's something they could have done. You would love to see them make ground from being 4 games under 500 like they are now. And I think tonight goes a long way. You get that first one under your belt, you start feeling good. The Rangers, like you said, have been playing good baseball. But there's good teams on the horizon for the Royals, but that doesn't mean they're not going to beat them. I mean, we saw the A's sweep the Kansas City Royals, and they didn't have 30 wins, and they went in and swept the Kansas City Royals. So anything happens. But I think tonight is a step in that right direction. Listen, they had the players-only meeting Saturday. Looked like Sunday was going to be their day. Noah Cameron then comes out of the game, and then boom, the Royals end up losing to the A's, and things are disappointing because you had that meeting. You can't have players-only meeting all the time. You had it once. See if it parlays itself. They had a nice day of rest yesterday. Looking forward to tonight. Also tonight, speaking of tonight, the Stanley Cup final. 3-2, Panthers up on Edmonton. They could wrap it up tonight. This is the third straight Stanley Cup of the Florida Panthers, but I know the NFL – ton more popular than the NHL, but I haven't heard any complaints about the Panthers always winning.
Yeah, I'll be watching tonight. I'll be watching the Royals game tonight against the Rangers, but I'll be keeping an eye on the Florida Panthers Edmonton Oilers game, see if the Panthers wrap this thing up. It'll be a rough one for cash out, bro, if that actually happens.
That's actually a great storyline.
Yeah, it adds to it. It definitely adds to it. Lastly, on what's trending, as we mentioned, Chiefs minicamp going on. Just a couple notes from that. Trey Smith was there. Travis Kelce was there. Everybody was there. We heard a little bit from Josh Simmons. Also, just a couple notes from some of the reporters on the ground there. I'll give credit to, I think it was Mackenzie Nelson. I also saw Matt McMullen tweeting out, talking about Rashee Rice and Kelce each hauling in a couple touchdowns during red zone drills, things like that. Also, Shamari Connor, I guess, was impressive today during 7-on-7s. Hollywood Brown said he feels 100% heading into the season, and he's excited to showcase what he can do. That's one quote. Thanks to Matt McMullen for putting that out there as well. That is what's trending here on Cody and Gold. If you guys have been listening, you can obviously tell Jay Binkley filling in for Cody. You're back with us again tomorrow as well.
I was listening.
And so, no, I mean, people, no, you.
I know, I'm joking.
This is the way that it's just going to be the rest of the week.
Yes, Bink, yes. If people are listening, they can tell it's you speaking, not Cody. You know what?
He's
actually, here, can you do this for us? You're filling in for Cody till next Wednesday, right?
I'll be here. Yep. Yeah, I'll be here with you Monday, Tuesday.
Yes, every Thursday, yes. Of course.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're all off on Thursday. So, and it's just Drew and you on this Friday. By next Wednesday, can you do a song?
Hell no.
Come on. Why not?
You're in that seat. I feel that seat. You should do it.
Hey, I will not sing. That's Cody's thing.
I will beatbox for you and everything. It'll be great.
You know Drew can beatbox.
I know he can. I've heard him, but I won't be singing.
I think you're in that chair. You got to sing.
No, it's a Cody thing, man. Cody's the singer on the show. Let's just let Cody have his time, man.
Okay. All right. I don't need to belt out
anything that's great, you know.
I could see you singing a little country song.
I could. It would be good, but I'm not going to do it.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate it, you know. Thanks.
Oh, I might.
Mm-hmm. We'll see. I'm not counting on it. Earlier today, the general manager of the Kansas City Royals, J.J. Pecolo, joined us. We went through a wide variety of topics of the current state of the Kansas City Royals. A lot of the things you guys have been questioning, a lot of the things that you guys are wondering about what they're going to do in the future. We started the conversation, though, with J.J. asking him about the players-only meeting and what, as a general manager, your reaction is to that.
Well, to be honest, very, very happy that they did. You know, they're obviously feeling some pressure right now. Obviously, we're not playing as well as we're capable of playing. And, you know, the coaches do as much as they can day to day. And one of the things we try to maintain is consistency in our practices, in our routines. So the coaches are always doing their part. But it means a lot more when somebody like Salvi or Bobby or Vinny, whoever, you know, was the lead voice in that, it means a lot more when it's coming from the players because they're holding themselves accountable. And I thought it was a very positive sign.
You know, one thing too, JJ, I look back, you know, in the Royals run earlier, you know, in 14 and 15, and you think about Moose and his voice, like it was always in there. And then when he started to perform and do some things, like he let that voice come out a little bit more. We saw it a lot in Houston. Do guys have to get to a certain point, or can they kind of do this whenever if they've earned that respect?
Well, I think there's very few guys that from the day they step into a major league clubhouse have the confidence to be that guy. So it does take a little bit of track record, a little bit of history, a little bit of momentum, playing well, you know, over a year or two where you can settle in and, you know, sort of be the guy that you always were. I mean, it's let's face it, most of these guys are the best players on their team their entire lives. So when they said something, if they were that emotional leader, it always carried some weight. But now you're in a major league clubhouse where everybody was the best player on their team. So you got to kind of earn your stripes before you're going to do something like that. And it took Moose a few years to do it. And, you know, no different than, you know, other players that we've been around over many years.
Do you think they work? Like, do you think players only meetings can truly shift the way things are going?
Well, I think it depends on the content of the meeting and how it goes. You know, my understanding was this was a very positive meeting. There wasn't any finger pointing. It was just like, guys, we got to get going here. Like, we're underperforming right now. I think it can help, you know, because, again, that accountability piece is being voiced. But when it really comes down to it, you still got to play the game. You know, right now, we're not playing as aggressively as we typically do. That was one of the things last year. You all remember the boys are playing some ball. That was a mantra because we were playing great defense. We were running the base as well. We were getting runners in, and the boys were playing some ball, you know, and that's something that has to happen on the field. You can verbalize it all you want, but at some point it has to become actionable. But having a meeting like that where the leaders speak up and the veterans speak up is a step in that direction because we're acknowledging that we're not doing those things and we need to get back to it.
you mentioned the coaching, and I think when an offense is performing the way you guys are right now and really have for the entirety of the season this point in time, folks outside the organization look at the players first and foremost, but then they also start looking maybe at the hitting coaches and the philosophy in terms of the organization when it comes to that. You still have plenty of confidence in where your approach is as an organization and with the hitting coaches in place right now?
I do. I mean, we've known these guys for a lot of years. They've done a wonderful job. I mean, you know, two of the three that are in the trenches every day were with these guys going through the minor leagues. They've built relationships. They have trust in each other. Players have trust in them. You know, they feel it just as much as the players do, and they want to, you know, wave the magic wand and try to figure out what each guy needs. But really, it's just staying positive right now, understanding the history between the coaches and the players. And the reminders. Nobody knows our current hitters as well as the guys in our batting cages every day. I mean, they live with them every day. They understand their swings. They understand what makes them tick. And now it's just a matter of trying to tweak some things here and there, but also stay positive. You know, you've got to stay positive through these tougher times. And I know we have the right guys that will stay positive, and they put the work in every day. You know, I can tell you this. Today in Texas is not going to look any different than last year in Texas as far as the energy and the positivity and our processes. But now the challenge is a little bit greater because the confidence, you know, is wavering a little bit. But all it takes is one little good run offensively to get that confidence back and you just go play baseball.
Yeah, because we've seen several teams do that here at the moment. But JJ, how tough is this right now in the front office when you think about preparing for the draft? You're looking at free agents. You're looking at things. Now there's the extra wild card that we've had the last couple of years in baseball. So conceivably, a lot of teams think they're still in it. How big of a challenge is that for the front office to do that, plus all your draft work and you're looking at these free agents? It's got to be a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, I think if you ask most general managers and front offices, we really enjoyed the draft being in June. That's not the case anymore. But it makes for a busy month. You know, we're getting into, you know, this week's the combines in Arizona. Then you've got draft meetings starting the first week of July and leading up to the draft in the middle of July. And literally we'll flip our strategy room, you know, we'll flip it over from draft to trade deadline stuff. But for our front office, a few of us, we're working parallel tracks. You know, we're not involved day to day with the draft. We know what's going on. Some guys are out seeing players, and then we have another group that's working on, you know, trade ideas. What are we going to do at the deadline? So there's a few of us in the front office that run those parallel tracks, and you know, we found a rhythm with it. It's not the first year we're doing it, but we found a rhythm with it, and you know, puts a little bit more on you, but that's what we're all dealing with. But you know, we're no different than any other team in baseball. We're all dealing with the same thing, and it's just our responsibility to do those things and pull off a draft successfully and have a successful draft deadline. Trade deadline.
Yeah, how tough is that though, JJ? When you look at these teams, because like I said, a lot of these teams still feel like they're in it. Their fan base still thinks they're in it because now with the extra wild card, you have a lot of teams that are kind of still sitting there, have to make decisions. Do they go forward or back? That's got to create a lot of confusion with front offices. And when you look at players thinking, well, is this team going to sell or not?
Yeah, no, you run that emotional high and low. You know, you think you're going to be buyers and you think you're going to be sellers. And if you're right at 500, you know, what do you believe that your team is going to do the rest of the year? So it is really difficult. And the hard part right now, for all front offices, there are so many teams that are in it that you don't know if they're going to be buyers, sellers, or stand put. So you're going to do all your planning, but until you get to, I think it's going to be a very late, a lot of action late in July, more so than we've seen in the past. But if you have a bunch of teams that are 3-4 games out of the wild card, you know, at the American League right now, it's really all but I think three teams that should believe they're going to make the playoffs. So you wouldn't expect a lot of, you know, heavy trading to happen in early July. So I really think, you know, when it happens, if it happens, it's going to be later in July this year.
We're talking to JJ Piccolo, the general manager of the Kansas City Royals. So with that said, you know, there's some reports out there that you guys are looking for some outfield help. Now, that isn't just because the trade deadline's the end of July, and obviously it could be an active one late. doesn't mean that that moves won't happen earlier, of course. So are you guys currently looking to add to this team still and be aggressive?
Yeah, well, I think we're just trying to monitor things. I mean, nobody seems to be very active right now. I know we had the big trade the other day, and that was a very unique trade for a lot of reasons. But, you know, it doesn't seem like teams are actively shopping players right now. So you just keep evaluating things. And what we've tried to do is let's look internally. You know, what do we have internally that maybe can pick us up a little bit? And it may not be the, you know, the big bopper like, you know, Devers being traded, but if we can add to our offense and improve on the margins, improve our defense, improve our base running, we're going to explore that first because there doesn't seem to be a market right now where there's an outfielder available. So guys are getting opportunities right now, whether it's John Rave, Jack Caglione, they're all getting opportunities to play. And then it gives us more time to evaluate who they are and how they can impact this team in 2025. You know, so all that's coming into, you know, our thoughts, our processes, and really until you get somebody that is, you know, clearly going to be trading an outfielder, we can talk about all we want, but we can't force another team to make a trade.
Understand your positioning, of course, in the standings can change drastically from this week to 3 weeks from now, but when you look outside the organization, though, and you at least try to maybe start those conversations, are you guys looking to make a deal or a player that can help you beyond 2025? Or is this an organization right now that's in a position that would still be willing to make a move if it only impacts 2025?
Yeah, that's a tough question to answer. I mean, I guess the best way to answer it is the preference is always to have control. I mean, that you know, more years of control certainly benefits your organization. But when it comes down to it, who are the pool of players that are actually going to be traded and what did their contracts look like? And when we get to that moment, I could better answer, yeah, a rental player is all that's available. But you always set your sight, you know, at least we do, on players that have more than a year of control. That was what we followed last year. Doesn't mean that's what we're going to do this year, but so much of it depends on the pool of players that are available that will help us shape that answer.
There's a report out within the last hour, so I hate to put you on the spot a little bit here, JJ, that Mark Healy had a report in the last hour and a half or so that he's hearing Royals ownership has, I guess, told you to start thinking about trading some veteran talent. I guess your reaction to that is that, have you had those conversations?
Unequivocally false. That is as false as can be, and you know the accountability of that writer should be in question.
But answers that one. As far as who makes the final call, is it in the front office with you, JJ, and the scouts? Is it ownership? As far as the direction, how often do you guys have those conversations? Like, all right, do we push all in? Do we kind of wait? Who kind of makes that decision?
Well, I mean, ultimately, it'll be myself, and you know, along with ownership, you know, their thoughts on the team. But it'll be myself. But if you sat with us over the last three games, from the first inning to the fourth inning to the seventh inning, the conversation kept shifting. You know, the emotions of the game get you thinking different ways. But ultimately, it'll be baseball operations decision. You know, and we always have good discussions with ownership, and just because we want them to be aware of what we're thinking and, you know, collectively make a great decision.
Away from the trade stuff, I know a big topic of conversation amongst fans, and we had it certainly on our show yesterday, was about Noah Cameron, who has, of course, been an unbelievable bright spot for you guys as an organization since he has been called up. And fans maybe trying to just figure out, is it an organizational approach? Is it something on a game-by-game basis when you see, let's say Noah Cameron has an 80-pitch performance, and then there's another game where he goes 100 pitches, and fans are just trying to figure out, all right, why is he pulled out after a certain pitch count? Is that something where ahead of time you guys go into a game and know, hey, this is what we're going to dictate in terms of his pitch count? Or is that just playing it out game by game, if that makes sense? Because I think fans are just a little confused.
Yeah. No, it's a good point. But when you're in the major leagues, you know, it's hard to think about resting and getting guys through the season. Now, Noah's young, you know, so we're aware of that. But the game, you know, in particular that I think you're referring to, you know, the matchup fell exactly the way we wanted to fall when he came out of the game. And our bullpen was well rested. We were lined up really well to finish that game. It just didn't happen. You know, that game, it didn't go our way because of one bad pitch. But it lined up exactly how the coaches had talked about matchups and what we wanted. It had nothing to do with trying to limit Noah's pitch count. It was a decision made by Q that just didn't work out that night. You know, if John Schreiber gets through that inning clean and now we roll from to Ursig and Estevez and we win the game, it's questioned a lot less. And it should be questioned. That's part of the manager's job to have tough decisions to make through games, and that one just didn't work out. But that had nothing to do with trying to, you know, nurture and control what Noah's doing for big picture reasons.
I did want to ask you about Chris Bubich, JJ. This guy, I've always enjoyed Chris Bubich and what he can do, but this season has been incredible. And I think he kind of got hosed against the Yankees, to be honest with you, because I think there was a strikeout there that won the strikeout, then some other runs come. But to be sitting there at fifth in ERA in all of Major League Baseball, of course, that dropped last week because, well, I don't think it was all because of him. But just what kind of bright spots he been? Because you think about your rotation, and then how good's Chris Bubich going to be? And then when you see how good he's going to be and what he's done to this pitching staff, just kind of what's he meant to the organization? He been your kind of biggest surprise this year?
Well, we had a lot of confidence in Chris, which allowed us to be confident in trading a starting pitcher in the offseason because we felt like Chris could step in and be part of the rotation. But I would be lying if I said we thought he would be in the top five in baseball and how he's performing. When you look at Chris's whole body of work, you know, we really thought he was starting to turn the corners as a starter prior to the Tommy John. Then he got hurt and he missed his time. And now he seems to, it's almost like he didn't miss any time. You know, the command's better. He's got an additional pitch in the slider. He's always used his changeup well. He's starting to locate in on right-handed hitters at a more efficient rate than he did prior to the injury. So things are just coming together. And then you throw in sort of the X factor, and that's Chris's baseball IQ. I mean, he's a very intelligent person, period. But when it comes to his baseball IQ and trying to understand how he can execute a game plan, work his way through a lineup, you know, I think that is something that may separate him from a lot of other young pitchers in the game. But it's been outstanding to see. And, you know, who knows where we would be without all of our starting pitchers doing what they're doing and our bullpen pitching pretty well. You know, without the pitching, you know, this may look a little more bleak than it does right now. You know, we're still in it and glad that the pitching's come through.
JJ Piccolo, Royals General Manager, joins us here on 96.5 The Fan every couple weeks. We appreciate it, JJ. Thanks.
Okay, guys. Thank you.
So that was JJ Piccolo earlier today. As you guys can tell, if you were listening to that, a lot of different things that we addressed there, and a lot of things I think fans have been talking about, and whether it was the Noah Cameron decisions a few times that have been different in each outing, and what's the reason behind that, and then I think more interestingly towards the front end of that conversation, just about the players only meeting aspect, and you know, for those including myself that have talked about, hey, to make a change with the hitting staff, like that's. They're not going to do that, at least at this point in time.
Not going to do it. We'll see what happens on this road trip.
Yeah.
You know, see if they lose further ground from four back, get to six back, then you have to make a change at that point. Now, if you can gain some ground, you start feeling, okay, guys are starting to buy into what they're saying. Because clearly it worked last year. Can it work this year? Well, it hasn't this far. I'm a big fan of what happens on June 1st, which we're past that. Like, that's, you are who you are at some point. But we'll see what they do.
The trade stuff is tricky just because of the spot they're in as four games under 500, three games back of a playoff spot. But then truly, nobody is really selling yet. And that includes them, right? But nobody is really selling yet. So even if you want them to take it an approach to go buy, those guys that have been floated out, even Cedric Mullins, Eugenio Suarez, a couple, is it Jesus Sanchez or whatever for, I don't know his last name, if it's Sanchez or Sanchez, down with the Marlins organization.
At least teams are sitting within seven games.
Yeah.
Most of them 3.5.
Right. And that's what's tricky right now. And that's why I think a lot of the trade, sell, buy stuff, we're going to have to wait. We're just going to have to wait. And that's why this road trip feels so massive. You know, you're going into it with a 6-game losing streak. So that already puts pressure on it.
So I think tonight's so important.
But what do you do over the next 6 games? 3 against the Rangers, 3 against the Padres. When you come back next Monday, I guess it would be, or Tuesday is when the first game, I think they're off day Monday, but next Tuesday against the Rays, are you 6 games under 500, Bink, or have you had a 4-2 road trip and all of a sudden, all right, you're two under and you're back to being a game and a half out of spot and the whole vibes are different? Or does it go south and it's a terrible road trip again and you go 1-5 on this road trip, and then you're at that point, I think pretty clearly you know what you should be doing, and that would be selling, right? Don't you agree?
Would you think this pitching staff's been so good, you're not going to have a slide like that? But I didn't think they'd be four games under 500 at this point with this pitching staff being as good as it's been.
Appreciate Jay Piccolo for calling into the show today. We're back at it tomorrow. Josh Vernier is going to be on with us. We'll be talking more about what happens tonight in Texas. We'll also talk more about the Chiefs. They'll head into day two of minicamp and talk about regression for a little bit and where fans are at on that, if that is even in play. And we'll bring it back. We haven't done it in a while, and we don't have a show Thursday, so tomorrow we're going to do Snitch Line. Let's do it tomorrow.
All right, let's do it.
A little Snitch Line tomorrow.
Snitch on Drew.
The Drive with CDOT and Rob are up next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.